Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Today, I want us to look at a lesson that I have entitled, Did You See What Jesus Saw? You know, as we think about the life and the teachings of Christ, He was much different in many ways than you and I are. Our world that we live in is very self-centered. It is about individuals thinking about where they are in life, about people thinking about not only what they want out of life, but about the things that would help to bring comfort to their life, to bring joy to their life, and therefore it has developed amongst many anyway, and seemingly from time to time the majority, to where that life is about self-serving. But Christ was not at all like that. In fact, as you read and study the New Testament Scripture, you'll find is that Jesus' life centered in and around helping His fellow man. As Jesus lived upon the face of the earth, I believe that He spent every moment about thinking the ways that He would be able to glorify our God. But friends, also as Jesus roamed to and fro upon the area that He existed in upon this earth, He was constantly engaging in the lives of individuals and looking to the things that they needed most, the difficult times that they were going through. And Jesus was working in these individuals' lives to bring them to a more positive state of life. And as I look to the life of Christ too, I'm reminded of why He did all that He did from an ultimate standpoint, and that was to do the Father's will. God's will was for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, to come to this earth as a part of heaven's eternal plan, to redeem mankind, to give us a means of redemption so that we could be forgiven of sin and then live our lives faithful before God in hopes and also in anticipation of the return of Christ so that someday we will not only be able to serve God here, but to dwell eternally in heaven with our God. But friends, also a very vital part of God's will for Jesus to be able to accomplish this meant that He was working continually in and through the lives of individuals. He dwelt here as 100% God, but also as 100% man, and that's hard for us to wrap our thoughts around. But as a man, but also as deity, He wanted individuals to understand that He loved man and that He wanted individuals to come to compliance to the will of God. And therefore, a part of God's will meant that He was always engaging in the lives and in the things that people had going on in their lives to bring them to this understanding of God. Why did Jesus do all that He did? Yes, God's will had a very significant part or role to play in that. But friends, Jesus was a very caring individual. You read concerning the life of Christ, you take that away, there's no question about it. And He was also not only a caring individual, He was concerned. He was not a person that if you were speaking to Christ that He would have looked off in some other direction. But rather, what I read and study concerning the life of Christ is that if He was dealing with you and you were dealing with Him, He was looking you in the face. He was very sincere, very genuine and heartfelt. Why? Because He took a very personal interest in people. He was concerned about what was going on in their life. And the Scripture tells us from time to time is that Jesus helped people. Why? Because He was moved with compassion. Not only did He care about people, was He concerned, but He was compassionate. He knew that as deity, but also as deity He could help people, but also as human, as a man, that He had a role or responsibility to reach out to people, to let them know that He was there for them. And as we think about His care, concern, and compassion, friends, all of this was driven, no doubt, by His love. Ultimately, we find the love of Christ when He died for us at Calvary's cross. In fact, in the book of John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus Himself says, "Greater loveth no man than that a man lay down his life for his friends." And therefore, the ultimate picture that we have with reference to God's love is seen on the cross, where He has extended Himself to help all of us as a result of the sin that separates us from God. As you read and study about the way that Christ interacted with people, as you read from the New Testament Scripture about the life and teachings of Christ and how that Christ intervened with people who have been born with an infirmity and He healed them, or they've lost a loved one and Christ comes into the picture and He raises that loved one's that loved one from the dead and puts them back into life. Or as you read and you see that He looked out upon a multitude of people who were hungry and therefore He was moved with compassion and fed them, as you read in regard to all of the great things that Christ did in the life of so many people, I want to challenge you to ask, is it interesting, to say the least, as to the way in which people responded to Christ? Some were very thankful. There were some that recognized what it is that Christ had done for them, what a blessing He had bestowed upon them, and therefore they thanked Him. Great gratitude. But then there were others who just simply walked away. There were others who showed no appreciation at all. It's as if Christ had not done anything for them, but rather that maybe something had just happened to heal them or to raise their loved one, and they just go on about their merry way as if Christ had not done anything spectacular for them at all. I'm thinking in reference to the book of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through verse 19. Jesus in this context, as He has gone through Jerusalem and Samaria and Galilee, has entered into a certain village, and the Scripture tells us that He was met by 10 lepers. And the Scripture says that they stood afar off. And the reason they stood afar off was because if you were a leper, you were disassociated with from society. And therefore, these men were standing afar off because of this dreaded disease that they had. It was a normal, according to custom, as well as according to the law. They could not be in close proximity or contact with individuals. And therefore, as they came to Christ, they were standing at a distance. And they lifted up their voices, the Scripture says, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They wanted Jesus Christ, our Lord, to heal him. And the Scripture tells us that Jesus told them to go and to show themselves to the priest, and that they would be healed is essentially what Christ is saying. And they go on their way to show themselves to the priest, and 9 out of the 10 go on without saying anything to Christ. But there's one man who returns to the Lord and thanks Him. In fact, the Scripture says that he praised God for the fact that he's been healed. And he fell to the ground and he worshiped, or he thanked Jesus Christ profusely for what Christ has done to him, for him. The 9 were ungrateful and only one was grateful. And I've preached this lesson before with regard to our need to be grateful to God. But today, I want to present this lesson and ask the question, did you see what Jesus saw? And the reason that I ask that is because as we look to what Christ has done here, we might scratch our heads and say, why did He do that? Jesus knew before He healed them the response that He was going to get. Jesus realized that 9 were going to be ungrateful and that only one of them was going to come back and to say that he was grateful and praise God as a result of that. And we, you and I, might say, why would He do that? 90% of those individuals were ungrateful. And you and I deal with a lot of people today. Sometimes maybe it is 90% who will be ungrateful for the things that we will do for them in life. And that 10%, that one person, might be the only one out of 10 or 10 out of 100 or maybe even less than that who will come back and thank us. And therefore, from time to time, we say that it's useless. It doesn't do us any good. We're out to glorify God. We're out to try and to show people how much we love them, and we want them to see that we're acting as a Christian, and therefore in hopes, anticipation of helping them to come to a relationship with God. And sometimes if we find more rejection than what we find accepting of our kind acts and of God, we might step back and say, why would we want to do these things? And today I ask, why did Jesus do what He did? And when we understand why Jesus did what He did, then also I believe that it will serve as an example as to why you and I need to continue to reach out to people, even if it is a 90% rejection. Why did Jesus do what He did? Friends, He saw a chance to glorify God. Even though Jesus knew all things, and Jesus realized that 9 of the 10 were not going to thank Him, Jesus looked at this opportunity as a chance to glorify God, even amongst that one soul who came back and praised God. That 10%, that one soul praising God, is why Jesus did what He did. And friends, not only in this instance, we find other situations where Jesus was constantly going about to reach out, to praise God. And God tells us through the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, that we are the light of the world. And as the light of the world, we are to represent the light, the shining light, Jesus Christ our Lord. And as Jesus went about doing good continually through His life for the purpose of glorifying God, but also an underlying desire to bring souls to Christ, you and I also must go about each day with a purpose to glorify God, living our lives certainly faithful before God so that we will glorify Him, but engaging in good deeds also to glorify Him. In the context of what Jesus shares with us, in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through verse 16, He says, "Let them see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In fact, the Apostle Paul shares with us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 that everything that we do in life needs to be to the glory of God. And therefore, even whenever we have 90% who will reject and that 10% who will come on board, God says, don't let that be a hindrance. Don't let that frustrate you to where you stop doing good, but rather keep on doing it because God is glorified in the midst of what we're seeking to do in helping others. But then, friends, also, Jesus saw a need that required attention. Jesus was very much aware of what leprosy was. He understood the disease itself even better than I think we probably still today understand it from a medical standpoint. Jesus also understood the ramifications of the consequences of having this dreaded disease, is that they were separated from society. As they were walking down the street, if they were meeting someone else, they had to holler out that they were a leper. Very humiliating. And Jesus understood that, and Jesus wanted so much to reach out and to heal people with their physical infirmities, but friends, also He wanted them to be able to engage in a normal type of life. And as you and I go about in this life in like figure, we need to have a peripheral vision. We need to have a vision that looks not in a channeled way, just looking at what's right in front of us, but rather to look in a broad perspective to the people round and about us, and to see the things that they're going through in life. And if they have positive things, tell them that we're happy for them. But if they have some trying things taking place in their life, challenging moments, we need to come in and to say, you know, I'm praying for you. And even when we would have an opportunity conjoined with the ability to say, if we can help you in any way, if I can be here to assist, please call on me. Or maybe just seeing that moment where that all it means is that we just jump in and help someone. That will go a long way, not only in helping them physically, but it could even go a long way in helping them spiritually to see that we are concerned about them as a person, but also as a soul that will someday stand in the sight of God. You see, Jesus saw a man with a sincere heart. Again, I believe He saw the other 9 who were just wrapped around themselves, who were just going to walk off and go their own little way, go back to their families, to their life, never give a thought as to what it is that Christ had done for them. But in that one individual, Jesus saw something special. And I've oftentimes wondered and thought myself, wouldn't it be great to be able to have the ability Jesus had to look at individuals and say, this one's going to be receptive, that one's not? And therefore, we wouldn't spend so much time on this one that's not and spend more time over here. And Christ says, and here's the beauty of it all, I believe, is that it's not for us to know those things. But rather, if we just did that, then we might do things more from a legalistic point of view. And our heart wouldn't be wrapped around people. Our lives ought to be wrapped around individuals looking for those sincere souls. And then our eyes need to be open and to the point and say, this is indeed a sincere seeker of God. And then we pour ourselves into every individual, hoping and praying that indeed their heart will be receptive, not only to the moment where that we're able to help them or to be there for them, but also that their heart might be receptive to the things that we might have to share about God. You see, as I was reading and studying this lesson, again, trying to look at it and to say, what else can I take away other than we need to be thankful people? I looked at that and I said, okay, God, why have you supplied this lesson for us, for modern man? It's a lesson for us today, for mankind. I said at the beginning of the lesson is that so many of us in life is self-centered, self-serving. And it's God's way of saying, don't just think about yourself. It's God's way of saying, be attuned to things going on in life. It's God's way of saying, in every person is a soul. And that soul is deserving of our attention. That soul is deserving of, and may need in a very real way, our personal involvement in their life. It's a lesson for you and me to say that, you know, if it was important to Jesus Christ our Lord, then it also ought to be important to us to go about doing good every moment, not thinking about the percentages of individuals that's going to come to the Lord or that will be thankful, but rather just to go about doing what Jesus did and know that God will give an increase. You see, Jesus saw in all of this a perfect opportunity to reach souls. Why did He come to this world? In the book of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus gives His purpose statement for coming to this world, if you would. He says, I came to seek and to save those who were lost. And why are you and I in this world? We're here to glorify God. We're here to serve God. But friends, also we have an underlying responsibility as Jesus, and that is to seek and to save those who are lost. Now, we point them to the one who is able to save those who are lost, and that's Christ. But yet, at the same time, every facet of our life, every move that we make, every day that we live is to be centered in and around the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? As Jesus Christ has died at Calvary's cross, and He's been resurrected from the grave by the glory and the power of God. The Scripture tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 that He's appeared back in Galilee before the apostles, and He utters to them, He says, all power or authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, and teaching them to observe all things that I command you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, to the end of the age. Friends, that is the Great Commission. The first century church was to reach out. He says, go therefore. As you are going is original language. Every day of our life, as we are moving ourselves off to work, as we are at our place of employment, as we are on lunch break with our friends or strangers, as we get off work and we go to Walmart or we go get gas, no matter, you get the picture. Don't belabor it, Kevin. As we are going each day, we are to make disciples, looking for those opportune moments to help bring souls to the Christ. Did you see what Jesus saw? He saw some wonderful opportunities to glorify God, to help someone who was in need. He saw a sincere heart who was truly looking for God. He took an advantage to give us a lesson for all of humanity, not to just think about self, but to think about others. And friends, also, He gave us a picture of the perfect opportunity when people are dealing with issues in life, especially, that they are maybe more receptive even to hearing and to seeing what our God is all about. We need to look as Christ looked so that we will be able to see as He saw throughout each moment of our life here. You know, today, if you're outside of Christ, God wants me, as well as each of us, to understand that there's a means of redemption. And as a preacher, I have a huge responsibility, every opportunity I get, to tell people about that avenue of salvation. Today, as we close out this lesson, I want you to know that if you are not a Christian, that God has Christ as our means of redemption. And the way that we are able to access Christ and His salvation is by confessing Jesus to be the Son of the living God and submitting ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you've not yet done this, we want to encourage you to do so before it's too late. If you're here today and you are an erring member of the church, we want you to know that we love you, we pray for your soul, and also we will pray with you and for you today that you might be restored in the sight of God and then live faithful before Him. If you're subject to the Lord's call in any way, please come.